You are listening to the weekly message from Mount Helena Community Church. Celebration services are every Sunday at 10 a.m. at the Gateway Center. Or join us live online at www.mounthelena.cc.
Well, it's really a treat for us to be here. We've been connected with Mount Helena Community Church for a long time through through Brian. What do you call Brian? He's your former senior, through your former senior pastor, Brian Acey, and we've known them for years and years and years. And the reason we came out here in 2004 was we decided as pastors that we were going to do a pastoral pulpit exchange. And so we had Brian and Margaret in with us, and we came out here, and we did that with several other pastors as well, and it's just been a treat. And we scored when we came here because Tyler and Leslie came and were with us for 5 years. So it was a score. Well, that wasn't my intention, trust me. Well, let me just, before I actually start speaking the message that I feel like God's put on my heart for me for you today, let me just capitalize on what Tyler talked about in terms of the organization that we're doing and the work we're doing in Uganda. Strategic Ministry Partnerships International is an organization that we founded in about 2009, and we've been going over to Africa twice a year for now. This is our 11th year of doing that. And we do leadership training throughout the entire country. We travel from city to city, and as well as Rwanda, and we do the Million Leader Mandate, John Maxwell leadership training over there, and building up leaders. The African people in general, but especially in East Africa, will tell you that they are a mile wide and an inch deep. In other words, everybody claims to be a believer, but they don't know very much. So they're not very deep. And so their greatest need, I believe you guys know Pastor Peter Kasirivu. Has he been here before? Pastor Peter's organization, Africa Renewal Ministries, is founded to raise up and train leaders in East Africa and all of Africa, because the greatest need is leaders. It's not hard to plant a church in Africa because they're not that mobile. You go and set up in a community, and there's all kinds of people that are there that don't go a lot of different places. And so a church starts very quickly in East Africa, but it's difficult to find a leader that has any depth. And so you end up getting into some problems from a church standpoint with that. Well, Strategic Ministry Partnerships International is trying to answer that same call, training leaders in East Africa. But we also became friends with a school in one of the slums of Kampala called Treasured Kids Primary School. And when we were there 1 year, God just laid on Jennifer's heart to start a child sponsorship program. And so if you would like to sponsor a child, a little plug here, unapologetically plugging, we would love to have you join with us to sponsor a child in Treasured Kids Primary School. Now, we're not like Compassion International or World Vision. We don't have thousands upon thousands of kids. We've got 150 kids sponsored. And we just like being a small organization that actually touches the hearts of people. And what you can do is actually you could travel with us over there and actually meet your child as well. In the course of being there, we bought a farm because all schools feed their children at noon hour. And the school was losing its support from a church in Ireland. 1,500 pounds a month. They were just going to stop in 6 months. And so we started talking back home, and we're in a rural community in Michigan, and one of our farmers said, why? Let's not send money over. Let's buy some land and grow food for the kids with the goal of becoming self-sufficient. And so we're growing the farm, 3 steps forward, 2 steps backward. It's difficult farming across the oceans and trying to figure out how to do all that. But anyway, it's a great thing. Here's my last pitch before I go. If you want to learn a little bit more about it, you can go online to our webpage at SMPI, www.smpionline.org. You can look it up and see that. All right. Thanks, Tyler, for that little opportunity to let everybody know about that. All right. The title of what I want to share with you this morning, something that God is really working into my heart. I'm growing in this. You will hear as I speak about some of my growth in it and some of my still needed growth in this whole area of crossing over. The title is Crossing Over, Learning to Live in the Kingdom of God. We met a woman back in the 1980s. By the way, we're from Canada originally, grew up in southern Ontario, and moved to the United States in 1987. And when we were in Toronto, and outside of Toronto in Pickering, in Canada, in the church there, we met a woman called Helga Zedermanis. Everybody say Zedermanis. She has a son named Alciklas. Alciklas Zedermanis. Try saying that one. So anyway, Helga grew up in Latvia. She was born to a family in Latvia, and when she was very small, her father took their family and fled before the advancing Soviet army that was taking over Latvia at that time and establishing the Soviet Union back in those days. I'm not even sure what years that was, but she was old when I knew her, and there was a long time, all right? So, but she came out of Latvia and grew up over the years. She got saved, got to know Jesus, and she had this deep heart that the Holy Spirit had put in her for her own people. And so she, as she grew and became not an older lady, just a lady growing through her years, she wanted to do something for her native peoples. And so she would go back to Latvia. Those were the days of the Iron Curtain. Anybody know that term here? Are you old enough to know that term? All right, the Iron Curtain, where nobody was allowed in. Bibles were not allowed in. Talking about Jesus was not allowed in. Nothing was supposed to happen in here having to do with Christianity and God. And she would go back into Latvia, and she was like Brother Andrew, if you know that story about God's smuggler, right? So she actually sewed pockets on the inside of her slip, and she would carry her whole slip full of Bibles into Latvia, where she would then give them away. And she would also give away everything she took in except the clothes on her back. She would come out of the country having given away all her clothes, all her Bibles, and she had the clothes that she was wearing, and she would fill her suitcases with rocks so that it didn't appear that she had empty suitcases as she came out. And so Helga had this deep desire to go into Latvia and to carry the gospel, the good news, to the people, to her native homeland people. Now, when you cross a border, in those days it was much more dramatic than maybe it is today, because you had to actually go through some really difficult things, and there was a certain amount of danger in doing that, especially when you were going into those nations. But we cross borders pretty regularly, and we go into other countries. Can I see the hands of somebody here, of everybody here who's been in another nation? That could be Canada. Look at all of you. Most of you have been across the border. So you know what it's like to pull up to the border, to have to speak to the booth, the border control person, and then to get the okay to go through and whatever. When you cross a border, you are entering into another kingdom. When we moved here in 1987 with our children from Canada to the United States, we left the kingdom of Canada and we entered the kingdom of the United States. We don't think of it in those terms, but that's what we did. Every kingdom has its own rules, its own regulations. When we go to Uganda, they drive on what we consider to be the wrong side of the road. How many of you know it's not going to work to go over there and just continue to drive on the side of the road that you're familiar with? That would not be a good idea. So when we cross a border, we must begin to adapt ourselves to the rules and the governance that is in that new kingdom. When Jesus came to the earth, why did he come to the earth? I know, you know, he came to save us, to die for us and all that, but actually he came to establish what? Another kingdom, right? He actually came to, in fact, John the Baptist says here in the first scripture that I have here for you, he says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, read it with me, for the kingdom of God is at hand. When Jesus started talking about what he was doing here, the very first things when he started his ministry, he said, in Matthew 4, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now let me just say, I'm sure you know this, but let me just clarify it if you don't. This is Matthew writing, and so he doesn't use the word God. He's a Jew, and he honors the word Yahweh, so he doesn't use that word. He uses the kingdom of heaven. If you go to Luke and Mark, where you get the accounts, it's always kingdom of God. So when Jesus came to the earth, he came with the purpose of establishing another kingdom, the kingdom of God. Now, for me, and I'm assuming maybe for some of you, whenever I heard the words the kingdom of God, and some of you talked about the kingdom of God, it was like my eyes kind of glazed over. You're like, what? It's sort of abstract. What is that? But I want you to think about the kingdom of God just like another nation. Think about you're crossing a border and going into another nation. You're going into the kingdom of God. Okay, so this nation has a king. His name is Jesus. This kingdom has a way of doing life. It's I hate to call it the rules of the kingdom, but it's the governance of the kingdom. It's the way that we operate in that kingdom. And you and I have been invited to come into the kingdom of God. And for those of us who've accepted Jesus as our Savior, that's the entrance, right? Those of us who've said, yes, Lord, I accept your sacrifice. You died for my sins. You've cleansed me, you've made me whole, and you've opened the way for me to come into the kingdom of God, to come behind the veil, to go from the outer court through the holy place into the Holy of Holies. You've opened up the pathway so that I can walk into the presence of the holy God, our Father, and be good about it. You know, yesterday, we've been, just Tyler and Leslie and y'all have treated us so well here since we've been here. It's just been wonderful. Jason and Rebecca, they took us out to the gates of the mountain. You know, so we went up the river and we got up past the gates, and then our tour boat guy went back and forth and showed us how the gates close and open, you know, that type of thing, and the whole idea there. And you know, it's like in the kingdom of God, when Jesus came, the Bible says the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom. In other words, what he did was he permanently opened the gates to the Father for you and for me. For anyone who wants to accept Christ as their Savior, come into the kingdom, you have been invited to cross over into another kingdom. Now, I have learned over the years that there's a problem with that, that I have a problem with that. Because, you see, I've been born into this kingdom, the kingdom of this world. Amen? I've lived all my life in this kingdom. Everything I do, all my senses, my hearing, seeing, tasting, touching, smelling, everything my senses pick up on has to do with this kingdom right here. And so I operate my life, I do my life through my senses and responding to this kingdom. But the problem is, I'm actually considered to be a citizen of another kingdom with another king, with another set of governance rules that I am invited to participate in and be a part of. And my Father in heaven tells me that if I do that, life in this kingdom will go a whole lot better. And so the challenge that I have, and I'm sure you do too, is living my life in the kingdom of God, but yet having stakes anchoring me into the natural kingdom that I was born in. I found living in the kingdom of God to be very difficult because I'm so in tune with what's going on in this world that I say, stay focused. You know, we always talk about just be tuned into the Holy Spirit. God wants to speak to us. He wants to lead us. He wants to guide us. That's all kingdom of God stuff. How many of you find it hard sometimes to pick up on those things because we're so focused on this kingdom right here? Amen? What I'm doing today and what I want to do today for you and with you is to challenge ourselves to take another step across the border into the kingdom of God, to start to live, actually live in the governance of the kingdom of God, to be aware of the fact that you and I, as born-again believers, have been born into another kingdom, and God wants to do amazing things with us through that kingdom. And everything we do in this world, in this kingdom, can actually be a spiritual act. Did you know you can brush your teeth in the kingdom of the world, or you can brush your teeth in the kingdom of the God? Everything, you can fill your car up with gas in the kingdom of the world, or you can fill it up in the kingdom of the Holy Spirit. What I'm talking about is you can be aware of the kingdom of God so much so that everything you do reflects the kingdom of God. So that where you go reflects the kingdom of God. What you talk to people about reflects the kingdom of God. That your whole life is so tuned into this other kingdom that it impacts the way you do life in this kingdom. And in fact, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Did you know that you are the architects on the earth of the kingdom of God? God has called you to represent his kingdom in this world in such a way that this world sees accurately the kingdom of God and is drawn to God the Father. So that happens. And how that happens is dependent upon my ability and your ability to live in the kingdom of God so that we represent, so that we represent Jesus in an accurate way to the world. So I'm challenged these days. Like I said, I'm learning this. I'm seeing this, and I'm realizing that I need to be far more in tune with the kingdom of God than I am with the kingdom of this world. I want to be more God-conscious than I want to be world-conscious. I have a tough time with that. I don't know about you, but I have a tough time with that because I am continually pulled into this world. I get up in the morning and I don't feel well, and I can get sad. You know, when we're sad, and we all get sad, but when we're sad, let me say that we're not tapped into the kingdom of God. Why? Because the kingdom of God is what? Righteousness, peace, and joy. So when we're tapped into the kingdom of God, we're going to be living righteously, doing things right in a good way. We're going to be walking in peace. Did you know that peace is, you know, pageants around the world? What do you pray for? What do you want? I just want world peace. Everybody wants peace. It's the thing that people want all over the world. And yet the kingdom of God says, my kingdom is righteousness, it's peace. If we're tapped into the kingdom of God, we will represent peace and we will also represent joy. So God wants us to be a joyful people. He wants us to represent his kingdom in a way that will make a difference in the lives of people out there that we walk into and touch every day of our lives, at our work, at our school, no matter where we are. He wants us to do that. All right. Got to find out where I am now. Hang on a second here. See, I grew up, my testimony is that I grew up in a godly family. My grandparents were godly. My grandmother on my father's side, when she died, we went into her house. I was a little boy at the time and opened her Bible. And there in her Bible, in various pages, were pieces of paper with prayers written out for each of her grandchildren. I grew up with a heritage that is just amazing. And I grew up in church. I went to church all my life. I got saved when I was 12 or 13. I can't remember exactly my age. I remember exactly where it was when it happened. And then I continued to walk through my teen years, and I like to say I didn't really do a whole lot of bad things. So through my teen years, I had my own struggles, but you know, never got off the boat really badly. And then when I went to university in my first year in Ontario there, I ran into the Holy Spirit. How many of you have run into the Holy Spirit? How many of you have just kind of bumped into him and all of a sudden life changed, right? I mean, when I grew up in the Mennonite church that I grew up in, I never heard the word speaking in tongues. I didn't know those three words went together. I didn't know it meant anything like that. And yet when I ran into the Holy Spirit, suddenly I was confronted with a completely different way of thinking, a kingdom of God way of thinking. a kingdom of God way of understanding who the Father is, who the Holy Spirit is, how he operates, how he does. And I was radically changed in that moment. That was a crossing over experience for me, that I came into contact with him. And ever since then, once you taste of the kingdom of God, and don't let your eyes glaze over with that term, just think another king, another country, okay? When I became aware of the kingdom of God, I realized, as Simon Peter said in John 6, he said, when lots of disciples were leaving Jesus, he said, but Simon Peter answered him saying, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And also we've come to believe and know that you are the Son, the Christ, the Son of the living God. You see, God opens up those things to you, and suddenly those words mean a dramatically more deep and empowering meaning, or have a deep and empowering meaning more than what we have when we just walk with him. And so so I was back in my first year of university, and so that's quite a while ago now. I'm a little older. Don't call me old. I always challenge people. I'm not old. I'm a little older, all right, just like all of you. You're a little older than you were yesterday. See, after many years of walking with the Lord now, I still find it difficult to have my feet in the kingdom of God and not in this world. I still find myself waking up, going about my business, doing my daily jobs, doing my shopping, doing my banking, and I have to consciously take hold of myself and say, plant yourself in the kingdom of God. Be aware of what God is doing in your life. Open your eyes to see more. And let me just give you a little something to think about here. I'm still pondering this, but I'm going to give you something that you're either going to leave this place saying, boy, that guy was really weird, or there's something there that's really interesting and intriguing. You know, our eyes can see. There are visual waves. I see what you see here in this place. I see between 380 and 720 nanometers of visual waves. There are things out there that we don't see. You don't see ultraviolet light, for example, right? Same thing with our hearing. We hear within a certain span of audio waves. But we know that a dog hears a whistle at another wave length that we don't hear, right? So I want to suggest to you that there are things out there that you and I don't see. And there are things being spoken and said that you and I don't hear and see. And I want to suggest to you that in the Old Testament, we read the scriptures and there are portals where that whole thing is opened up to people. Remember Balaam and his donkey? Remember Jacob and the ladder? We don't see that stuff, right? We don't know that it's there. But I'm becoming convinced more and more that actually that is there. And it's just outside of my vision. It's outside of my ability to see it. And in the Old Testament, you have these portals that were open. And we get a glimpse into what I'm going to call the kingdom of God. We get a glimpse into heaven. We get a glimpse into God and what's going on in the earth. I saw a book, you know, this is funny, down in your prayer room, just when we were down there, I saw a book on the shelf called This Present Darkness. How many of you read that book? I just loved that book. Because for me, it opened up something that it gave description to something that I had not really thought about before. And it describes all kinds of spiritual warfare and angels and what God's doing in the earth. And that's a really good book to read if you've not read it. It was an excellent book and an excellent read. You know, I just think, see, here's what I really think has happened. I think when Jesus died and when that veil in the temple was rent open, it was torn aside. And no longer do we need portals of opening into the kingdom of God. But rather, that thing was opened up for us forevermore. And that you and I have an opportunity to walk into the kingdom of God. I believe we can train ourselves to see things because it's a spiritual seeing. I believe we can train ourselves to hear things because it's a spiritual hearing. And we're going to see and hear things that God is doing in the earth that's outside of our natural seeing and hearing. Now, maybe I'm weird. I find it exciting. I find it exciting that the portal has been opened up into the kingdom of God for me to see and hear. And so I find myself a lot more these days saying, Lord, let me see what you're doing. Let me see what you're saying. Or let me hear what you're saying. Let me see where you're at work. And I'm convinced that I can train myself to see and hear what's going on in the kingdom of God. That's going to just have dramatic impact on my life here in this world. That's something to chew on over lunch today. Okay. So lots of times we become more God conscious or more world, or most of the time we are more world conscious than we are God conscious. And I want to encourage you today that he wants us to become more God conscious than we are world conscious. That we actually are more aware of what he's doing in the earth and in my life and with us every day than we are his ways. You know, Israel, the nation of Israel, has a pretty troubled history. If you read through the scriptures and in Judges, you know, you have this whole book of a time when Israel was just walking away from God and their enemies were dominating them and subjecting them to all kinds of crazy things. And God had to raise up a deliverer to come along and deliver the nation. And then they'd get delivered and they'd be so thankful. And all of a sudden, they'd do the same things over and over again and they'd end up back in bondage with some nation oppressing them. God would raise up another deliverer, a Gideon, or whoever, a Deborah. And the thing that troubles me is that we can end up in that same kind of place today. If we're not walking with God, if we're not allowing God to work in our lives, we can end up under oppressions. And yet God is ready to deliver us. He has delivered us. He's already provided that through Jesus. You know, in Judges 17, it says, in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And I think when we're more world conscious than we are God conscious, we end up doing things that are right in our own eyes, and we don't touch base with what God is saying and doing. And how he wants to work in our lives. The kingdom of God has a king. His name is Jesus. And we are under his rule and under his reign. And he wants to work in us and work through us in such a way that people see the kingdom of God in our lives. John's message was repent. Jesus' message was repent. Why? Because the kingdom of God is right here. It's right at hand. It's not distant. It's not a long ways away. It's right there. And of course, we all know what repent means. It means to change your mind, to change your direction, to turn and go 180 degrees in the opposite direction, to do things differently, to think differently. Did you know, the scripture tells us that we don't think the way God says. Amen? In Isaiah 58, he said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. And we have to learn his thoughts. We have to learn his ways. And Romans 12 tells us, let me find it here. Romans 12 tells us that we are not to be conformed to this world, but to be what? Transformed. We need to have our thinking transformed. We have to have our thinking made differently so that we can actually represent the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God is a treasure. In fact, if you read through Matthew 13, it gives you all of those scriptures that talk about what the kingdom of God is. And every one of those scriptures talks about the valuableness of the kingdom of God. how valuable it is and how much it should be our focus and how much we should be pressing into that. And let me just read a couple of them for you here. It says, It says in Matthew 13, verse 44, it says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. The kingdom of God is the pearl of great price. It's more valuable to you than anything you can come up with in this world. It's more valuable than a vast inheritance that you're left with. It's more valuable than winning the Publisher's Clearinghouse grand prize. It's more valuable than winning the lottery. It's more valuable than getting that promotion that you might be desiring. The kingdom of God has so much value, as it's described in the scriptures. It's like, you know, if there was some sort of big event, maybe the fair that you've got going on here, the Stampede. You know those metal detectors that people walk around on? You see them walking on the beach or wherever they're trying to find treasure, right? That's what they're looking for. So after the fair, there may be somebody out in the fairgrounds going around with one of these things trying to find, you know, all the coins that you dropped or everything that dropped out from going on the zipper or wherever. And they're looking for that. Well, the Bible says that the kingdom of God is like finding a treasure that is more valuable than anything you can imagine ever having. And it says that it is so valuable that when you find that valuable thing, whatever it is, you will without question go ahead and sell everything you have in order to acquire that treasure. You'll give up everything. And it's not giving it up. It's just that you're, you know, so many times we think we're giving up things for the kingdom of God. The reality is we're getting something far greater than anything that we have to give up. We sell everything that we have in order to buy that plot of land because we know that there's a gold vein. Talking about gold vein, we took the tour train the other day and learned all about the gold rush and market that had happened here in Helena a long time ago. And so, see, if you were in those days and you found the gold before anybody else got there, you would take everything that you had, you would sell it to buy as much of a claim as you possibly could. Because you were getting something of value far greater than what you have today. That's how the scriptures describe the kingdom of God. The scriptures say that the kingdom of God is more valuable than anything you could possibly have or get. And then Jesus says, scripture you're very familiar with in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So, what I want to do today is I want to challenge you and help you to realize that if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you've been born into another kingdom. You've had the veil torn and the gates have been opened up. There are things that God has for you and for me. There are visions and understandings that he has for you and me that are far beyond anything you could imagine. Far more insight, far more depth, far greater understanding, far more things for you to do. In fact, the Lord says to you today that there are some of you sitting here today who he's been speaking to you for an extended period of time, that there's something specific that he has for you to do in his kingdom. And you have, it's not that you've resisted it. I don't think you've resisted it, but you've not brought it into focus. You've kind of continued more in a world consciousness than in what God is saying to you. And he wants you today, he wants to stir that vision in you this morning and have you step up and say, yes, Lord, I will do what you're calling me to do. I will go where you're calling me to go. I will serve where you're calling me to serve. Sometimes it's a very big, disruptive thing, like a move halfway around the world. Other times it's just being willing to take the risk and serve at a certain level right in the local church, right here. So hear whatever it is God's been speaking to you, and then embrace it and walk with it. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else that you've hoped for, everything you've wanted, everything you've desired, all of those things will be added to you in due season and in due time as you need them and as you need to walk in those things. God is so good, and he is such a blessing, and I'm going to bring this to a close because I just feel like I'm supposed to, even though we're really early. You don't mind getting out to lunch early, do you? But I just want to thank you again for the opportunity to speak with you this morning and to share with you this concept that God is working in me about the kingdom of God, being born into another kingdom, needing to learn how to live under those guidances and governances while we still walk in this earth, becoming more God-conscious than world-conscious, hearing his voice, and I believe God has things for you to see and hear that is so far beyond anything you could imagine, that walking with Jesus is going to be really exciting. Amen? God bless you, and thank you so much.
For more information, visit our website at www.mounthelena.cc. Download our mobile app, available in iTunes and Google Play. Be sure to check us out on Twitter and Facebook.